Reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 7 to 10 and 17 to 19.
Perhaps
for we brought nothing into the world,
the light,
so that we can take nothing out of it.
Our church,
but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these.
Early in the building phase of this facility, a decision
was made to keep the light on as a beacon of hope for our town, by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil.
Every day,
and in their eagerness to be rich,
every day,
some have wandered away from the faith
because we
pierced themselves
proclaim
with
ourselves
many pains.
To be a people of light.
As for
hope,
those who are in the present age, are
in
rich,
the way and wisdom
command them
of
not
Jesus
to be
Christ.
Haughty or to set their hopes
our
on the uncertainty of riches,
that our church
but rather on God,
is a
who richly provides us with
help,
everything for
home,
our enjoyment.
Hope.
They are to do good.
The letter of
1
Timothy helps us
works,
think about what that means even
ready
more.
To share.
But first,
thus
lest
storing
we
up
be
for
distracted by
the treasure
one thing.
Of a good foundation
let's
for
get
the future,
that out of the way.
So that they may
the writer
take hold of the
of
light
1 Timothy
that really
makes
is
it clear
life.
That money
herein
is not evil. It is the love of money that is evil. Got it? Really important. Because I think we usually don't get it. We usually touch money with a sort of a mixed kind of feeling around it. So money in and of itself, not evil. There's nowhere in the Bible it says that. Timothy reminds us it's just the love of money that is evil. And it's quite descriptive. It is the love of money and riches that leads to the entrapment of senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction and causes them to be pierced by many pains. Okay, love. That's love of money, all right? The second thing that we need to clarify is that 1 Timothy wants us to understand that because we are rich, and let's just assume that by the world's standards, we are all rich. Let's assume that. By the world's standards, friends, we are all rich. So, because we are rich, says 1 Timothy, we are commanded, is his word, not to be haughty or to set our hope on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. We are to be rich in our good works, generous, and ready to share. I looked up the word haughty, by the way. That always sticks when I read this passage. And the word program, when you click on synonyms, came up with the word snooty. So I quite like that. That maybe is something as a way to get after haughty, because I don't really hear that in our language. I don't hear us say, oh, you're so haughty. But our wealth is not to make us appear or act snooty in a way that we might think we're better than anyone else. Instead, we're to be rich in our good works, generous, and ready to share. So, where does this wisdom invite us to place our hope? On our riches? Or in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment, our good works, and our practice of generosity? So where does the wisdom invite us to place our hope? There's only one right answer, right? should be our hope is God, right? Our hope is God, the one who provides richly for us. And I love how Timothy plays with that word. The one who provides richly for us, the one who is the source of wisdom, the one who inspires hope. When we share generously, when we rest our hope in God who richly provides for us all that we have, and then share generously out of that, we provide hope for the world around us in ways that we can only imagine. It is so important that we let our light shine. It is critical that we be a beacon of hope because it literally means life to people. It means salvation. It means healing and relief from suffering. People come into this building and they feel peace. They feel love. They find life and are released from pain. I am moved by the number of times we consistently make a difference in the lives of people, and in many cases, how we are saving lives because of our beacon of hope shining in such a way that it has beckoned to them to come in and get some help. I know people in recovery because of our beacon of hope. I know people who are receiving treatment as we speak right now, because even though they were falling through the cracks of our medical and mental health systems, they are now safe because we were able to shake the rafters and figure out a way for them to get help when they could not advocate for themselves. And this work takes a village of hope, and I can think of no other way to describe a congregation other than God's village of hope. I'm going to dare to tell a story. And I dare because I don't have permission to tell it. But I want you to know something. I've been privileged to have a relationship, a friendship, a relationship built on gently and gradually moving into trust with a young man over the last year or so who first walked through our front door. Over the last year, I've watched him slowly crash, slowly become more addicted, slowly become more affected by psychedelic drugs, slowly moving into a state of psychosis until he was not operating in reality at all. To some, he was frightening. To others, he was threatening. And to others, he was just one more person on the street. And he was just 19. He's my son's age. One day he came in the office not that long ago, and he was crying. He is somewhere between in a state of psychosis and somewhere in a state of consciousness where he realized that he had really, really effed up his words. In that moment, it would have been very easy to castigate and chastise and make life even more difficult. But what happened in that moment as I saw him, I saw in his eyes a young man in a deep, deep place of pain. Most folks around town who have met him were disturbed, uncertain what to do. And I realized that he was in a state where he could no longer help himself. And if he kept going down the track he was on a dangerous place and was likely going to cause harm to someone or to himself, if not more than already was the case. I realized, after making a few phone calls, that he was just being transported by the police from one place to the other, to the other, to the other. And the language I was hearing is, we can't really do anything until he actually causes harm to someone or himself. And I said, so what does that mean? And how long do we have to wait? So we began doing research, because I knew inside this young man there was hope, because you don't get to emotions and tears easily without some source of pain or grief or loss. I'm happy to report that after a conversation with the RCMP, where I said, here's what I'm going to do. The next time he shows up, I've instructed whoever he's with to call 911. And Constable and I got into an argument. No, you should not do that, he said, because you could be taking away the opportunity to save a life. And I said, so what's the difference here? Whose life are we talking about? And then he said some things that I didn't like. I didn't give up and continued to hold this young constable's feet to the fire just a little bit. This is not a hero story on my part. It's just a story that if we don't offer hope in some way, then nothing happens. And the people who are hurting continue to hurt. I found out a lot of things that can be done. The long and short of the story is that he was taken by the RCMP to the hospital in Calgary, where he was admitted and now receiving care. And that makes me cry, because we had hope and we could see him. Not for the addict, not for the guy who had lost all the wheels on his wagon, but was able to get some hope. Because, I think it's because he was my boy's age. Hope, this is the word that we attach to this day, this Sunday of Advent. We hope, and I want to invite us to take whatever our definition of hope is and move it deeper into our hearts. We hope because we are inspired people of God. We dare to let our beacon out there shine because we believe there's more than one way to skin a cat. Because there's more than one way to fix a desperate human crisis. Because there's more than one way to fix a broken relationship. Because there's more than one way to work around dysfunction and addiction. God's inspired hope in us is a visceral yearning for all to be well. It is that God-given power working us that moves us to extend compassion and love beyond ourselves in such a way that offers hope to another, to someone who cannot hope. And that's why I think 1 Timothy's words are so important for us as human beings, not just in this community, but generally. Hope happens when we share our resources generously so that the vulnerable can receive an expression of life-changing hope, that there is reason to live and that there's reason to give. And I think it might not hurt us to be a bit more cognizant of the differences we are making in the world around us, regardless of how understated and confidential our approach might be. It's hard to tell that story because you may have met this young man and you may know who I'm talking about in a town this size. But I'm risking it because I want to underscore what it means to be a village. If it weren't for this young man's village, he would not be safe. Every night, when I go home from this place, and often I'm the last guy out, and I've turned the lights out, and I lock the front door, just for security. And then I look at that light that's shining in our entryway. And I pray that this symbolic expression of our congregation's hope will continue to be a beacon of goodwill and hope for all who need the compassionate love and healing of Jesus Christ in their life. It's a courageous prayer because sometimes I feel afraid of what that might mean, what situations might arise, and what unforeseen circumstances might come our way. Because I've learned that hope does come with a modicum of the unexpected. But at the end of the day, in the light of that beacon in the front entryway as I'm locking up, I will pray for all those I could not get to that day, for all those I could be with, and for all those who may be on my path tomorrow. It is God's hope in me that I choose to embody, and despite my shortcomings, I know that being in close proximity to each and every one of you reminds me that we are all part of God's agency of hope. Hope serves to move us in our hearts in order to provide all that we need to do God's work in this community, whether we're young or old, doesn't matter. Church is not about getting our money's worth. Church is really about giving our money out of our riches, out of the provisions that God has given us. Church is about being, embodying the beacon of light and hope in the world so that others may live and have life abundantly. The question raised by our reading today is about where we place our hope. Is it in our financial investments and other material stuff? Or to use Timothy's words, is it the command to share God's riches generously and in those good works live out God's hope? Where do we put our love? Timothy is careful, and I hope that I am too, so as not to run us into the territory of judgment, but rather into the territory of self-reflection about how we shall live and how we as a congregation will continue to live faithfully, generously, and lovingly. This, for me, is the territory of hope. Please don't forget, in the midst of our busy and demanding Advent lives over the next few weeks, please don't forget to remember your significance in this community. Please don't forget to remember that each and every one of you matter in this community of faith and how together we make an enormous difference to others. Often, one human being at a time. Please remember this church and what it does for others, especially during this season. And if you can, out of the provisions that God has provided, please give a special Christmas gift to the mission of hope that is our congregation's life in order to keep our beacon of hope shining. It really does make a difference in ways that are beyond what I suspect most of us can imagine. If there ever was a time to secure our beacon of hope into the future, I believe that now is the time. We pray that God's hope will shine and shine and shine and shine, because the world is desperate for it. And we can offer it. Amen.